You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Anniversary. This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora. How's it?
Yeah,
cool. Happy Waitangi Day.
Yeah, yeah. Right, happy. Anyway.
Be happy.
Anniversary albums.
Yes, today we're looking at new wave band Television and their debut record from 1977, Marquee Moon, which is turning 40 this year.
Yeah.
Big album, this one. So just a bit of background into Television. So they formed in New York in 1973, and they were part of the new wave scene that was developing in New York at the time. And we've talked a bit about new wave before on previous anniversary albums, but this was the scene that was based out of clubs like CBGB's and Max's Kansas City, and included groups like Blondie and Talking Heads, Patti Smith, those sorts of people.
Cool.
And it was an underground kind of scene that was similar to punk, I guess, but more melodic and with more art influences, I guess, on the music. And the groups in the scene were massively influenced by the likes of the Velvet Underground and other 60s garage groups in particular, like the 13th Floor Elevators. And Television themselves were also influenced by people like Dick Dale and Buffalo Springfield and also Love. So as you can see, a quite eclectic mix of influences. And the group for recording this album, they were made up of Tom Verlaine on vocals and lead guitar, Billy Feature on drums, Fred Smith on bass, and Richard Lloyd on lead guitar and vocals. So, just a bit of background to the recording of this record. So, in the lead up to this album, the band had developed a big reputation on the New York live scene and had garnered a following within the new wave community. And this led to record labels becoming interested, and the group eventually signed to Elektra Records in 1976, whom they would go on to record this record with. So the thing about new wave bands is that none of them were really the same. They were all quite different. Blondie was more pop. Talking Heads was more kind of artsy and experimental. And Television, on this record, they went down a kind of melodic jazz rock kind of route. This is quite a sort of guitar-heavy album. And in fact, this is considered one of the first records where you had two lead guitarists sort of engaging in sort of interplay between the guitars, sort of guitar dueling, that kind of thing. And the playing was quite different to, I guess, punk rock guitar playing, which is more based on riffs and quite heavy, aggressive chords. Here they were kind of more into melodic guitar lines and counter melodies. And I guess an early example of jangle and jangly guitar, which would, of course, become more common in the 80s. And many of the songs on this record had been played live by the band for quite a while, so most of the tracks had already been written before the sessions, so it was just a case of recording the tracks, and basically the group recorded the tracks live in the studio as if they were playing a gig, so it does have a strong live feel to it, with not much in the way of overdubs or studio trickery in that regard.
Cool.
Which is again kind of keeping in close, I guess, connection with the punk aesthetic of you know, this, what you hear is what we're playing. We're not going to go in and like add massive orchestras over the top or that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd start by playing the opening track off the record, See No Evil. And this is one of the band's best known tracks. It has an instantly recognizable riff, which gives you a good idea, I guess, of the kind of twin lead guitar attack, so to speak, that's on this album between Verlaine and Lloyd. And yeah, this one's very new wavy sounding, quite Patti Smith like I think in places, and yeah, it's a good tune.
Cool.
I wanna Awesome.
Yeah, See No Evil. So as you can tell straight away, more melodic, more kind of cleaner, I guess, guitar compared to like other kind of sort of punk from the same period. And Television, I guess, were kind of more advanced, without being mean, more advanced on their instruments than maybe some of the other groups at the time.
Like more polished.
Yeah, more polished, particularly the guitar playing. I mean, it's very, very sophisticated and very kind of complex, particularly with the chord changes and very sort of jazz influenced in that regard.
Cool.
So the next track we're going to play is called Venus. And this one, I guess, is less aggressive sounding than See No Evil, more kind of indie sounding, I reckon. There's some nice jangly guitar on here, quite a much lighter sound, I guess. Some interesting chord changes in keeping with that kind of jazz aesthetic that they were going with on this record. And that was one of the strengths of Television, with their jazz influence. It came through very strongly with quite interesting chord changes and quite sort of jazzy guitar playing. And this is a good example on this particular track.
So
Venus for television. Do you reckon, like, the way that he was saying Venus de Milo, he was saying Venus de Milo, like
Venus de Milo.
Is he just talking about himself?
Probably. I don't know.
True. Okay.
Maybe, I don't know, undertones of astrology, maybe? Venus?
I just noticed there was someone trying to call through. Sorry, man. Maybe you should text us on 5395 if you got anything to say.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Go for
Are
it.
You a television fan?
Oh, actually, I don't know why anyone thinks that television is post-punk, art punk, or anything punk. It sounds closer to glam rock, like T-Rex to me, but they played at CBGB's in the late 70s, so they got lumped in with the punk anyway.
Mm.
Oh, with punk, sorry, not with the punk.
I would disagree with that text.
Well, I mean, they don't sound like punk.
They don't
though.
Sound like punk. They're not punk at all.
No.
They're new wave.
And I guess CBGB is just a venue.
Yeah. They were part of that
scene.
That's
a good point.
They were part of
that
scene.
Thanks for texting in.
They were part of that scene from the start. They didn't get lumped in with them.
But it does seem like that, right? Like, I can see why someone would say that.
That was the beauty of New Wave. It's musically, it's not punk. Let's get that thing
and we
straight.
Totally agree with you in that regard.
Yeah. And musically, it was quite diverse. Like, Blondie sounds like a pop group, and Talking Heads, more kind of experimental, artsy, and Television, more guitar-based, jazz influences, all very different bands, and that was the beauty of New Wave. It was, although they came together as, like, this kind of underground scene, they were all musically doing quite different things.
Yeah.
And also, people love to lump people in together under labels, you know.
Dare to be different, darling.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, what next song do we have?
Yeah, but no, that's a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, but for another time.
Thanks for your text. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
The next song we're going to listen to is the second single from the album, and it's called Prove It, and again, like Venus, this one has more of an indie kind of guitar feel to it. Again, lots of jangly guitar and some nice guitar harmony parts. Lloyd and Blaine were very good at kind of developing these kind of counterpoint harmonies in their guitar playing and feeding off each other, and they did that really, really well, and that again is that jazz influence coming in there strongly. So this is Prove It. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Thank you. attention.
This case is closed.
So sorry.
That was funny.
Well, no, I just thought it was, anyway.
No, go on.
My mum texted in from Melbourne, actually, and she said, everything, by the way, is a continuation from our previous discussion about punk and what punk is and that this isn't punk and blah, blah, blah. Everything, by the way, since punk has punk in it, somewhere even if it isn't there, punk's insidious and cheeky and mysterious and huge and small and, to me, kind of sweet too. Good discussion there.
Yeah. No, that's very true. The punk ethos lives on in most music, even not non-guitar music. Hip-hop's got a punk aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
An attitude.
Yeah, it's an attitude.
It's a statement.
Well, it's bred from the environment. Anyway, and we're going to cut to a wee little, tiny little break, and then we'll be back with our last installment of Anniversary Albums with Sam Smith. Ew.
Ew.
You heard Rosalind got banished, right?
Shut up.
Yeah. And so she's still horny for Orlando. So she's going to dress up like one of the boys and try and get in his frickin' pants.
That's so progressive.
Ugh, yeah. No, duh. Rosalind is so frickin' queen.
Yes.
Shakespeare's naughtiest romp, As You Like It, is given this summer festival treatment. We're bringing Glastonbury to the Auckland Summer Shakespeare Festival. Auckland Outdoor Summer Shakespeare presents As You Like It, February 14th till March 11th beneath the University of Auckland Clock Tower. Get your tickets now from iTicket.
Alex, glad you decided to show up.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't find a park anywhere.
Should have biked like me. I got here ages ago. Plus, you know I got a boatload of compliments about my jacked quads.
Did I miss the ceremony?
Yeah, man, you missed the whole thing. Honestly, one of the meanest bruises I've ever been to.
Oh, crap.
Anyways, I'm out. You gonna drink all those beers? Oh, gee.
Riding bikes is frickin' cool, so why not sort yourself out something sick from T. White's Bikes? They've got brand new bikes, juiced up second-handers, and all the gear to make your big ups no spandex ride like the wind dreams come true. Plus, they've got the goods to fix up your junker and get it rolling smooth. T. White's Bikes, Auckland's raddest bike shop at 132 Simon Street, next to Southbound Records or at twhitesbikes.co.nz.
Oh boy, craft beer fans, it's time for a smorgasbord of smashable, quaffable, drinkable, lighter alcohol goodness from 18 innovative breweries, all vying for the crown at the 4th Annual Brothers Beer Session Beer Challenge. Head to Cityworks Depot on Saturday, Feb 11 from noon until late, where they'll be laying on brews and funky beats all day long from live DJs The Hoptocrats, including Average White DJ, Peter Mack and Grantis. The 4th Annual Session Beer Challenge. Everything you need to know is on the Brothers Beer Facebook page. Man, I could go a beer.
Guys, I've been scavenging in the forest all day and I... Wait, what? You're eating burgers? Where'd you get the meat?
Yummy.
Where's Piggy? My God, you're eating Piggy, aren't you? I've only been stuck on this island for 2 hours and already you've turned to savagery. How could you? I weep for this loss of innocence, for the darkness in your heart.
Oh, chill out, Dickie. These from Lord of the Fries. They're vegetarians.
Yeah, turns out this isn't an island at all. We're just in Myers Park.
Oh. Is it chip?
Lord of the Fries is your new favourite purveyor of delicious, ethical fast food that just happens to be vegetarian and vegan too if you want. Burgers, hot dogs, sides and of course fries in all manner of delicious sauces. Get all the info and the full menu from lordofthefries.co.nz and get you some from St. Kevin's Arcade or 1 Queen Street.
People always say to us, hey Silo Park, we love the silos, but how do you put together the perfect summer event schedule? I tell them honestly, I take inspiration from the 95BFM weekday DJs. It's The Mix. You've got Penny on a Monday, a bit dark, but with poppy gems to take you by surprise, which I think perfectly describes Silo Cinema, because the sky is dark at night. You've got Bridge on Wednesday. It's grooves, it's buzzy, it's undoubtedly the Silo Park markets. Sigrid on a Thursday goes without saying that's Silo Stories, because of her voice breaks. And obviously Connor on a Friday represents that it's called Silo Park, like park life. Because he's English.
I feel like you're stretching the metaphor a bit.
No, I think it works.
Silo
Silo Park. Sorting your summer with their community of good times. I'm proudly bringing you your gorgeous early Arvo weekday selections from Penny, Bridge, Sigrid and Connor. Go to 95bfm.com for show details and check out silopark.co.nz or the Silo Park Facebook. Thanks to Panuku Development Auckland.
Kia ora, man, bro.
Kia ora. Just adjusting my headphones. They've fallen out.
We're just buzzing out over his headphones.
It's all good.
Because like one side's like...
One side's completely fallen
it's
out.
It's got angular difficulties.
It is. It's going to need an operation. Anyway. Just looking at the reception legacy of this record, it didn't really do anything commercially, which is not surprising, as in these early days of New Wave, albums didn't really do that well. It wasn't until a few years later that New Wave started to be a commercial kind of style of music.
I guess it was just like an outlet by that point.
Exactly, yeah. And by that stage, record labels, as they're good at, they like to catch on to what's popular and commercialise it, and then suddenly everyone's a New Wave band.
Bastardized.
And then you get new romantic bands.
Yeah,
like well, Duran Duran.
I really like Spandau Ballet, though.
Oh, I like Duran Duran.
I probably would actually play some Spandau today.
Oh,
actually.
Do it. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. You know?
Anyway, sorry, we're talking about Marquee Moon television today.
So, but the critics were very impressed, particularly with the unique style of guitar playing and the use of dynamics on this record. Writing for NME, Nick Kent deemed the album's music vigorous, sophisticated and innovative at a time when rock is wholly conservative, which is a very good point because at that time rock on the whole had become pretty conservative musically, pretty standard, middle of the road, and bands like Television, they were doing different things with the genre, and that was the case very much on this record. So yeah, very good point there. And the album has also gone on with that to develop a very strong legacy to the point that is now considered one of the best New Wave albums of all time and also one of the best ever guitar albums.
That's encouraging, eh?
Yeah.
Because it, you know, it was an obscurity and then it wasn't.
It's a very influential guitar
album. Took a long, long time.
Yeah, true. Pitchfork ranked it the third best album of the 1970s, while The Guardian voted it the 33rd best album of all time. So big raps there. Rolling Stone also voted it the 128th greatest album of all time in their list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. So
it appears
up there and kind of, you know,
I know, but it's pretty hard to even whittle it down to that many.
Oh, yeah, I know. But you know what the music press is like. They like to rank things and...
Oh, yeah, they're all about the ranks.
They like to, like, say, this album is up here and we're going to put this one here.
But I'm sure you listeners aren't interested in all that. You just want to hear a bit of Television, don't you?
Just a bit of Television, you know.
I just want to hear a bit of Television.
But, yeah, the record had a very very big influence on the development of alternative rock and indie rock, particularly bands like Joy Division, R.E.M., The Pixies, all very much influenced by Television and this album in particular. And I guess the guitar playing especially was important in showing bands what you could do with the guitar that was outside the norm of traditional rock guitar playing. You could bring in jazz elements, you could play, have two lead guitarists, you could play off each other and do all sorts of things. And I would say that most guitar music that has come since this album was released in some way would have been influenced by this record. Yeah, it's very important on the development of rock.
Well, you know when they say, like, oh, you know, every single riff has already been played? Maybe, you know, this is kind of one of those albums where they took all the riffs.
Oh, definitely.
From the future generations of guitar players in their bedrooms.
No question.
Being like, Eureka, I found the riff! And they're like, oh, Marquee
Television's
Moon,
already
damn.
Done it, man. but it's interesting because people say, like, all the blues riffs have been taken and... But it's interesting because there's no blues riffs really on this record. It's all kind of...
Well, you know, like, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very good point.
Chord progressions.
Yeah, chord progressions, kind of arpeggio playing, you know.
Arpeggio playing.
Jangly guitars, that sort of thing. Of course, jangly guitars was like the big thing in the 80s. Everyone played nice jangly guitars.
Yes.
Yeah. But unfortunately, though, the band could not capitalize on this record. They split up in 1978. And they reunited twice, once in the 90s and in 2001, getting on that nostalgic rock circuit.
Yeah.
And, you know, as everyone likes to do.
Yeah.
Just following in the Rolling Stones' footsteps.
Yeah, hard. Cool.
So I thought we're going to finish with the title track of the record, Marquee Moon. And this is a bit of a guitar epic and kind of the centrepiece of this record. It's over 10 minutes long, and I don't think we're going to play the full 10 minutes. We'll probably just fade it out
All right.
halfway through. But it contains a lot of, as we've been talking about, a lot of guitar dueling and some very complex playing with Lloyd and Verlaine playing off each other and counter to each other. And incidentally, this song was ranked in Rolling Stone magazine's top 50 guitar songs of all time, coming in at number 41. So it's a very influential guitar song and, yeah, very spectacular.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us about this.
Yeah.
And you know what? We don't have any news at the top of the hour for the show today, but if you do want to do some shout-outs, you know, say hi to some people on air, text into 5395. Text costs 20 cents on Vodafone and Spark and 9 cents on 2 Degrees. Here you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Ka kite anō.
Ka kite.
Hesitating. Yeah. again.
Thank you.
happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.